lessons on communication. Isn't that great? Oh, the irony of it all.
Yes.
Ephesians chapter 4 will be the text we're going to jump off from this morning. All these verses are in your notes. If you've got a copy of the handouts, you're going to be good to go. But as a pastor who has done numerous sessions of marital counseling, communication is one of those things that really gets brought up oftentimes in those counseling sessions. And it's something that, because we're Christians, we can look at communication different than the world does. Men and women communicate in completely different ways. I think a lot of you know that, don't you?
Yes.
Women are very verbal, for the most part. I know. And men can, we can just do a head nod and know what we're talking about, or a fist bump, right? And say, yeah, and we're good. And so, you know, we communicate that way through gestures and things of that nature. So we're going to talk about this morning because there are some places where we can come together and find a meeting point where we can learn to communicate better and more effectively. And so this lesson is about communication. Next lesson is about conflict. And so we're going to talk a little bit about conflict this morning, but we're going to develop conflict a lot more next Sunday morning. So let's look at in the Bible here at Ephesians in chapter 4 and look in verses 25 through 32. There's a lot of nuggets here, a lot of treasure about how we ought to communicate with one another, not just as husband and wife, but as believers in general and as believers to the unbelieving world. Amen, saints? Verse number 25, wherefore putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Brother Bob, could you turn on the Facebook stream also? Thank you. Father, we thank you for this time together this morning. We pray that you would meet with us in a special way as we consider this topic of communication. And Father, it's not just about communication in the confines of marriage. It's communication as we interact with our fellow man. And Father, please speak to us and help us during this study. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the things that I hear a lot when I'm talking to folks in the counseling, arena, and we'll use that term because sometimes it is arena with some boxing gloves when we're counseling, is I'll hear this sometimes, especially from the man, well, that's the way that it's always been in our house. And then they'll even go back and say, well, that's the way my father did it with mom and things of that nature. But I hope that we're growing enough as Christians to understand that just because that's the way that it's always been doesn't mean that's the way that it has to be. The example that the author put in the book that I really enjoyed was he explained how the United States railroad track came to be 4 foot, 8.5 inches wide. 4 foot, 8.5 inches wide. Now, why in the world would they settle on that width for the railroad tracks in America? That's the standard size railroad track. 4 foot, not 8 inches, 8.5 inches. And you find out, well, the reason they did that in America is because that's the way they did it in Britain. And a lot of our forefathers came from Britain, and they had 4 foot, 8.5 wide, 8.5 inch wide railroad tracks in Great Britain. And so it turns out they did it that way because that's how their old trams were built, were on 4 foot, 8.5 inch rails. And so they did that. And you go back a little bit further and you realize this, that that's how they made the wagons and the carriages in Britain and in Europe, that they had 4 foot, 8.5 inch wide wheels and tracks. And found out, well, why was that? Because that's the only size that would fit in the ruts of the road. They didn't want to go outside the box and make anything smaller, make anything larger. And then you say, well, where did the ruts come from? Well, the ruts came from the Roman Empire. They were the first ones to really develop roads in modern civilization. And they had ruts in the roads from the war chariots that they ran that were, guess how wide at the wheel? 4 foot, 8.5 inches wide. Now, how did they come about with that measurement? That was the width needed to get two horses in a yoke in front of a chariot, 4 foot, 8.5 inches wide. That's the way that it is, but it doesn't have to be that way when it comes to our communication. Make sense? We don't have to say, well, that's the way that's always been. That's the way that mom and dad did it. That's the way that I have seen it. That's the way that I know it. Just because you know it doesn't make it true. Somebody help me this morning. We'll get right into this morning's thought. We are Christians now, and when you become a Christian, you become a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And so all things are become new. The way that we think becomes new. The way that we treat each other becomes new. The way that we talk becomes new. All of this newness is happening from the depths of our soul because of what Christ has done in our lives. And we need to learn to translate what Christ has done in our lives in the realm of our communication with one another. I believe that God wants us to communicate, don't you? That's one of the reasons we come to church, is we come to communicate and to communicate the gospel and to communicate the truths and sometimes the deep truths of the Word of God, because we want to see life change. We want to see transformation by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God. He wants us to communicate. He wants us to communicate on the workplace, doesn't he? We have to be able to talk with our employer or our employees so we can communicate the common goal, the mission statement of the company. We need to communicate in our homes too. Husbands and wives, parents and children need to have communication with one another. And because we have Christ in us and because we have been changed by the power of the gospel of Christ, we can change the way that we communicate. I'm going to say something that you're going to know is very, very true. Words can be very, very powerful. Words can be very, very powerful. For example, let's put it this way. I'm at the grocery store. I'm in the checkout line, and I hand the cashier one of our church invitation cards. I say, hey, I'm the pastor of Liberty Baptist Church. I'd like to invite you to church services. And she takes it and she looks at it and she goes, oh, you're Mark Hoffer? I hate you. Okay? But she's a complete stranger. And I'll say, well, I'll wonder why she hates me, but it's not really going to affect my heart too much if she says that she hates me. But if my wife, during the heat of passion in an argument, like, because pastors have arguments too, says, Mark, I hate you, that's going to cut to the quick, isn't it? That's going to be something that's going to get down into my soul and say, wow, how what did I do to make her say, you know, that she hates me? Why so powerful? Why so strong? Why so emotional about this? And so, again, words can be very, very powerful, and words can have a lasting impact long after we speak them. And so we got to remember those things, and especially men, if you're married, you probably have learned this. Your wife hasn't forgot anything you've said in 30 years of marriage. Okay? Somebody help me. There we go. Now the Spirit's moving. Okay, here we go. So, you know, they can have a lasting impact, and they can linger. Look at what it says there in your notes under Proverbs 18 and verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the what, saints? Power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. You know, our words have the power to destroy and the power to build up. Proverbs says it this way. Our tongue has the power to bring death and to foster life. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. You know, and whatever our bent is with our words is the fruit that we're going to eat in this lifetime. And so if we're always negative, always condemning, always belittling, always sarcastic, we're also going to eat the fruit of that belittlement, that bitterness, and that sarcasm with our lives. And that's not the way that God intended for His dear children to live. He intends for us to live, as we're going to talk about again this morning in the Sunday morning message, is He wants us to live with joy, with abundant joy, with fullness of joy. We have to learn how we use our words and how powerful and how destructive our words can be, okay? This is what you see a lot in today's version of marriage, whether it's Christian marriage or whether it's a non-Christian marriage. It's not the physical abuse that really stands out, but it's the emotional and the verbal abuse that really stands out. And I'll just tell you, wives, husbands are tired of being belittled by you. And I'll tell you, husbands, your wife is tired of you demeaning her. Okay? It only goes so far. We can only take so much of this before we lose our confidence and we just don't want to fight the battle any longer. And so those are just important thoughts that we need to get to this morning. Number one about in your notes is this. Is the guardrail of truth. There's various guardrails that we read about here in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 25 through 32, that we need to learn to keep our communication within these boundaries. You know, boundaries are a good thing. When I was a kid, I played various sports, and, you know, there would always be another kid that didn't really know the sport that well but wanted to play. And I remember we were playing pickup football. We probably were junior high age, and we were just, you know, we had our own boundary, made our out of bounds, and we had the end zones all marked off and things. Probably had a stone here or a t-shirt there to mark these things off. But the out of bounds was there for a reason. The out of bounds was there so some kid who was really, really fast couldn't run out of bounds and run back in bounds and then get a touchdown, because that's not the way the game was played, right? The boundary is there for a reason. It's there so that the game is fair and, of course, can get done in a timely manner and things of this nature. And what God has done here in Ephesians chapter 4 is He's put guardrails up on our journey so that we can stay within confines and within decent bounds of our communication. And the first one, again, is the guardrail of truth. In your notes, point number one, wherefore putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on telling you how important it is that we're honest with one another. That should just make practical sense, because we are Christians now, we are in Christ now, and honesty should be the way that we deal with all people. Somebody say amen. And one of the things that we have to learn to really bring to the forefront of our lives in this transparency of truth is that, letter A, that we have no secrets from each other. That we have no secrets from each other. And sometimes, again, in the counseling realm, secrets will be told to me by one party or the other that their spouse doesn't know about yet. And you know, it's like, well, we have to let this spouse know about this because we need to be transparent with one another. And of course, the fear is, but it's going to be damaging. It's going to cause more harm than we're already experiencing now. And I'll say, no, it won't. If that person doesn't have the grace to forgive you for this secret you've been holding, then we're going to have to talk to them about forgiveness and teach them about that life's lesson and things of this nature. We shouldn't have secrets from each other. Proverbs 26:28 says this: a lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin. I mean, the marriage, the marriage home, there is no room for secrecy in a healthy Christian marriage. That means, men, that you don't have secret websites to go to or secret habits that you employ. And we don't have secret in the home, like a secret checking account. Are you following me? You know, and so we got to be careful about these things. You know, no hidden relationships outside the confines of marriage. We need to be transparent with one another. That's where trust is really built, is built upon that transparency of honesty. The author uses here in Genesis 2:25, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. They had nothing to hide from each other. And we've learned this, is that when there's secret sin, sin will thrive. And sin thrives in the shadows. Sin loves darkness, doesn't it? Men love darkness because their deeds are evil. Jesus spoke about how dishonesty just destroys us. And really, it's a part of our heritage. In John 8:44, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. I stop right there. There is no truth in Satan. Somebody say amen. But you're in Christ now, and he is the truth. Amen. He is the way, the truth, and the life. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And so, you know, we should be careful and cautious about harboring deep and damaging secrets from our spouses. I'm reminded, you know, it's an Old Testament verse, but it's a very real thought when the Bible says this: be sure your sin will what? It will find you out. And so, again, nothing is being fostered or cultivated here in the area of a healthy marriage when we're hiding things from one another. Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. You know, remember when President Trump got elected, and then his vice president is Mike Pence, right? Yeah, Mike Pence. And boy, the media sure had a field day with him when they found out that he wouldn't have dinner alone with a woman who wasn't his wife. And they just thought, wow, what a prude. What a Puritan. What a legalist. And I say, no, what a genius. What an intelligent man who realizes this, that the media would love to catch Mike Pence with somebody other than his wife and print this scandal all over the page. Somebody help me this morning. We don't need to have secrets from each other. It doesn't build anything. It breaks down everything. And so we have no secrets. Number two, this guardrail of truth is also indicates safe sharing. Safe sharing. We're to speak the truth in what? I want to hear it again, all of you. We are to speak the truth in what?
Love.
In love. We are to speak the truth in love. And again, you know, sometimes men, I know I'm a man and I've counseled so many men, we're almost afraid to share our feelings because we feel like we're going to get trampled down or we're going to get made fun of or we'll be ashamed of how we're feeling. And we know this is true for the most part. I'm not saying every woman, but for the most part, women aren't afraid to share their feelings. They're an emotional entity, and so we understand this. But, and here's where it's all very important, that this is where it all comes together, is just like men generally, I'm saying this generally, strive like physical intimacy. Okay? Women like to communicate. They like to be talked to. They like to be heard. Somebody help me. You know, and it's important that we understand this. You probably have heard the statistic, you know, where on the average day, a man uses 15,000 words and a woman uses 30,000 words. You know there's a reason for that, don't you? Because she has to repeat everything she says. Amen? But anyway, okay, you're not getting it. But anyway, there's, you know, there's that need to talk, you know. And again, we were, last Monday was Memorial Day. We had planned on doing some things, but the weather was just, you know, terrible last Monday. It was cold, and so we didn't do what we thought we were going to do. Sat around the house, read a little bit, did some things, and then in the afternoon I said, hey, let's go for a drive. We haven't been up to Flag for a while. Let's go up there and look around a little bit. She said, good idea. And my wife just loved that because she had me in the car for about 5 hours, and she just talked and talked and talked and asked my questions and asked my opinions, and she was so glad to have my attention captive for 5 hours in that car, back and forth, and just talking some things out. And we're talking about some things that we're making some big plans, you know, for a year and a half from now. And so she wanted to hear my opinion and my thoughts on things. And so I kind of let her know where I stood and where I was on different things like that. And it was so amazing. She got home and she called my daughter. And Jillian said, how was your Memorial Day? She said, it was so wonderful. Your dad and I just talked all day, is what she said. That's a blessing. Your wife wants to talk to you. Amen. You need to learn how to listen and how to respond and not respond in anger with emotion, but speaking the truth in love. You know, and to me, because Christ is in our marriages and Christ is in our hearts, it should be easier to have communication with one another that is in the confines with the precept of love. You know, a woman's safe environment is knowing that her husband is listening and knowing that when she exposes her feelings that she's not going to be made fun of and is not going to be making light of how she really feels. Amen? She needs to feel that way. And a man, we're different. A man is like this. Okay, I'm telling you, but if this gets out, I'm not talking to you ever again. Because we don't want our emotions being out there for all the other men to make fun of. We might get our man card taken away. Somebody help me. And so it's important that when your husband or the man in the relationship shares his feelings, that you don't call up mama and tell her, you won't believe what Mark just said. I had no idea he was so sensitive. That's not how we want to be known. Somebody help me. Are you following me or not? There's got to be safe boundaries. There's got to be safe sharing in this. How about Proverbs 31:11? The heart of her husband doth safely trust in who? In her, so that she have no need of spoil. And so we have to learn to speak the truth in love and learn to keep things confidential in the confines of our marriage homes. Somebody say amen to that. How about the guardrail of indignation? Indignation. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. I always get a little kick out of when I'm doing premarital counseling. You know, young couples who they haven't tied the knot yet, but they're fixing to, and you sit down and you counsel them and talk to them about things, and I can tell you, it's almost without fail, I'll say to the young couple, what kind of things have you fought about so far? Always the same answer. Nothing. Pastor, he's perfect. And I say, yeah. And I say, oh, just you wait. There's going to be conflict. There's going to be passion. My wife puts it this way. When people, the ladies ask her, said, do you and your husband fight? And she said, let me tell you. My husband and I are both passionate people. And when we fight, we fight. And so that's how she says it, just like that. And so we do. We escalate. Sometimes there's the heat of passion, and sometimes things get said that shouldn't be said, and things of that nature. And sometimes, saints, I'll make her mad, and sometimes she makes me mad. Can you believe that? That little 5'1" can make me mad sometimes? You better believe it. Amen. And I make her mad too, but we have this thing at Hoffer House. It's different. Not the way you're used to hearing about things. But we always have said this, that we're never going to have anybody sleep on the couch if we're mad at one another. So what we do, it's so immature, is we go to bed and we are back to back. We don't face each other. We don't kiss goodnight, nothing like that, all night long. We try not to even touch each other when we're having a little bit of a dispute at Hoffer House. But we have that rule of we're not going to go, we're not going to be angry and have one of you on the couch or get out. What does that solve? Well, I'm leaving. And what does that solve? But we've all been there, done that, or at least heard about something like that. Somebody say amen. All right. I'm not preaching to anybody. I'm not mad at anybody that's warned something. You believe me, don't you?
Yes.
Just trying to help you here with the Word of God. Ye that love the Lord hate evil. We ought to be angry at the problem and not at the person. That's easy. That's easier preached than practiced, right? To be angry at the problem and not the person. Don't find fault. Find remedies. Don't let the anger linger. All these things are just, you know, again, they're easier said than done. I think you know that's true. But we're reminded how important it is that we keep our hearts and we keep our hearts in check. Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You guard your heart, you're guarding your marriage. When you refuse to direct anger toward one another, you are opening up the door for effective communication, and you're also opening up the door to listen to each other. My grandma said it like this, wasn't God good to give you two ears and only one mouth?
Yes.
James 1:19 puts it this way, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. Say it with me. Swift to what?
Hear.
Slow to?
Speak.
And slow to? So you know what the Bible says. But once again, am I on the right page when I say it's easier said than done? But we're learning some things here. We're learning about how Christ working in us and dwelling in us can change the way that we treat each other in the confine of Christianity. Then there's the guardrail of kindness. Kindness. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Now, no means no, right? Let no, how much? No corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. You know, I don't know, maybe I'm the only one here this morning that's had this happen where I said something again in the heat of passion, and then 5 minutes later said, wow, that was pretty harsh. Right? Are you following me?
Yes.
Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. How do we do that? There's some practical, these are very practical. Number one, never threaten with divorce. When I say never, I mean never. Sure, it's quiet in here. Never use divorce as an ultimatum, as leverage. God hates the putting away. He's not for it. And so don't threaten with it because it's very demeaning and it's very diminishing to, again, the sanctity of Christian marriage. Number two, never argue in front of the kids. Now, most of us in here, our kids are grown and out of the house. Someone say hallelujah,
yes.
Right? But for those who still have young children in the home, never argue in front of the kids. You know, take it into a room. Take it somewhere where the kids are out of earshot because your arguing affects your children very, very negatively. And you know, and I see this too, and I'm going to say this real quick because I need to say it. Don't try to have your children take one side or the other. Okay, let them be their own people. All right? They'll make their own decisions based on what they know to be true instead of you trying to, quote, poison the well. Never attack personally. Never attack personally. All of a sudden it got hard, didn't it? It was easy when he said, Pastor, don't argue in front of the kids. Pastor, don't threaten divorce. I can get on board there, but never attack personally. Those are my best bullets are my personal bullets. Amen? Those are my best shots. The bullseye, right to the heart. You know, never make it a personal attack. Make it general. I don't do it anymore, but I had a habit. And it's a bad habit. I'm almost ashamed to tell you. But, you know, in our bedroom, we have my side of the bed and her side of the bed. And on my side of the bed is also where my dresser is. All my clothes are there and my stuff in my dresser. But I also have this habit of, I'm not the most organized person in the world. I live by the pile method. And I had a habit of making piles on the floor of of clothes that were dirty and clothes that probably could be worn again. Are you following me? Are you feeling this or not, man? And so, and I knew which was which. I knew it was the dirty pile, which was the maybe I could wear it again pile. And, you know, it had to go through the smell test, somebody say amen. But, you know, you got this going on. And it just drove Mrs. Hoffer absolutely bonkers that I have this pile going on over here. She said, I got a laundry basket just across from over there. And I said, I know, but I don't want to go over there and put my, I don't want you to disrupt my pile method. And she said, well, I think it's sloppy. And then she said that really hurt me because I don't think I'm sloppy. I'm just not organized. Okay, there's a difference. Somebody help me? And so that made me wanted to even make the piles bigger because she said I was sloppy. We're dealing with human nature here. We're just two sinners trying to get along, right? So it went on. And it went on for years. I mean, we've been married for 32 this year. And so it's gone on for decades. And she finally, you know, she finally did it a different way one time. She's so good with words. And she's so convicting with her words. You know, she says stuff like this. I'm feeling overwhelmed with the housework and stuff like that. And I was just wondering if you could help with the laundry a little bit. That's all she said. So yeah, I could do that. And that immediately, it sparked a little fire in my brain saying, hey, dummy, pick up your dirty clothes and do the laundry. Help your wife with the laundry. And so I did. So now I make a little game out of it, and I actually shoot my clothes across the room jump shot style into the laundry baskets, and I get real proud of myself when I make it. Somebody say amen. Yeah. She gets annoyed when she finds socks behind her mirror, but hey, you know, that's just part of the game. We're making a compromise. We're coming together. We're finding this idea of kindness working in the Christian marriage. And it can actually work. You can get along. And so never attack personally. This is one that the men are going to understand more than the women are. Take breaks during tense moments. That's what I do. It's getting heated. I know that if she keeps on pushing, I'm going to say something that I'm going to regret. It's going to hurt. It's going to cause more pain than help. And so I'll just say something like this. I can't talk about this any longer. I need to go to my office. I need to cool down. Why? Why? Are you afraid to talk to me about this? Are you afraid to tell me your feelings? I said, no. I need to calm down so I don't tell you my real feelings right now because you don't want to know my real feelings right now. So I go to the office, shut the door, try to find some quiet, find some solace. Guess what happens? I'm not done yet. Okay. Kate, I'm telling you, if you let me cool down, we'll talk about this. We'll have a discussion. We'll be like civilized adults. And she said, why can't you be civilized now? And I said, because I'm emotional, I'm angry, I'm mad. I'm overwhelmed. I got all this stuff going on. I cannot talk about it right now. So she has learned, finally, after 32 years of marriage, that's the way that sometimes we have to do it, have a cooling off period. But man, let me caution you, don't use your cooling off period to get out of further discussion. Somebody help me. Because your wife needs to have closure on that problem. She just needs to. You say, well, I don't. She does. She does, okay? And so that's the way that it's going to happen sometimes when we're trying to communicate with each other because we are, again, we're just sinners who are saved by grace. We're almost done. You're doing really well. The last guardrail is the guardrail of edification. Of edification. But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. Love is building. Knowledge, we would say, remember Paul, knowledge is power. That was a saying we had in the Navy. You know, but it does. It puffs us up. It gives us something to be proud of. But love or charity, it edifieth. It's a building block. And so, again, there's some real practical ideas of how we can use our words to edify each other. Number one is this, letter A, building words give instruction and wisdom. Building words give instruction and wisdom. The mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the froward tongue shall be cut out. How about Proverbs 16:23? The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. So building words give instruction and wisdom. Building words give direction. Building words give direction. Hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. Building words praise the Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. Letter D, building words encourage others. Building words encourage others. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. And then Proverbs 15:23, a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it? Amen. Building words encourage others. Building words are pleasant and appropriate. Building words are pleasant and appropriate. Proverbs 16:24, pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. And then Proverbs 31:26, back to the thought about the virtuous woman. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Say amen, saints. Say amen, saints.
Amen.
All right. Building words facilitate healing. The mouth of the righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Proverbs 12:18, there is that speaketh lie like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. Then lastly, letter G, building words bring security and truth. Building words bring security and truth. Have I not written to thee excellent things in counsels and knowledge, that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee. And so again, our words are very powerful tools that we have at our disposal. We want to use our words in the right way, not to destroy and to tear down, but to build up. To garner safety and to foster love in our communication. And that power is completely up to the individual to use. The power of your tongue is completely up to the individual to use. My wife does not control my tongue, and I do not control her tongue. Somebody say amen. We have to learn to use our words wisely and in the right manner. Sometimes, though, you know, you're heading down that two-lane highway, you know, and it's that communication highway, and sometimes we're going to hit the guardrail and sparks are going to fly. But the guardrails are there to remind us to get right back on the narrow way, on the right path, and to give glory and honor unto God. Amen, saints. Father, we thank you for this time this morning. Pray that you would just use this lesson to speak to married couples today, Lord, but also, Lord, to all of us who communicate with people on a regular basis, on a daily basis, that our words are powerful and how our words should be edifying and to minister grace to the hearers. And Father, I do pray for our morning worship service, that again you speak to us from your word. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, you got about 20 minutes before the morning worship service. You're dismissed.